Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. And remember, you can always find us on the 101.3 ESPN app. You can find us in the Google Play Store. You can find us on the iTunes Store. It's free, so you can find out. You can see everything, really. You can see all of our trending posts on our website. You can get live score updates. You can listen to us live. And you can also find us on Alexa. If you have an Alexa, if you have an Amazon Echo, just ask Alexa to stream WCPV. So there's all kinds of different ways to get to us, to listen to us, to read our content online. And we appreciate everybody who has said to us, hey, Brady, hey, I love listening to you. Listen on my Alexa all the time. Listen on my Amazon Echo. Or I downloaded the app. It's great. We appreciate your support. Appreciate you listening. We go up until 6:30 today. Short show. Red Sox game postponed. It was supposed to be Patriots Day at Fenway. We'll have Bruins hockey for you in the playoffs. Game 3. Eastern Conference first round against the Maple Leafs. It has been total domination for the Bees right now. They've dominated on the power play. They've got 5 goals on the power play unit in this series already through just 2 games. David Pastrnak has 9 points in 2 games. That is already the most in NHL history through the 3 games of a first playoff series. And Pastrnak is dominating. The goaltending has been good. The defense has been good. The physicality has been good. The coaching has been good. The discipline has been good. The Bruins are in firm control right now. But the Maple Leafs, with desperation, with home ice tonight, worth watching, worth listening to. We'll have it for you at 6:30. As for what's coming up this week on the station, Tuesday, tomorrow night, Trivia Burger Bar in Colchester will be there 7:30 to 9:30. Half-price appetizers, and a great night of sports. Half-price apps, 250 aluminum cans Miller Lite, 250 bottles of Coors Light. We'll also have $3 Blue Moons, half-price apps, and then you're going to have, get this, at any one point tomorrow, you're going to have the NHL playoffs, you're going to have the NBA playoffs, including a Celtics game at 8 o'clock, and that's all going to lead into Shohei Ohtani for the Angels going up against the Red Sox. So tomorrow, it's going to be a lot of fun. Tomorrow is also tax day, so that means you're going to want to take note of that, and you're going to want to come see us Wednesday when we broadcast live from the UPS store on North Ave in Burlington. We'll do the Huddle and Champlain Valley Game Night 4 till 7. Since it's tax day, there will be free shredding of documents as long as you bring in 5 pounds or less. So all those private documents you need to get rid of now the tax season is over, the W-2s, they can all go away after tomorrow. You bring in 5 pounds or less of documents, they'll shred them for you for free. Again, that's Wednesday. As for what's coming up on the show today, some notes on Bartolo Colon from last night, who carried a perfect game into the 8th inning at age of 44 and has become the world's biggest cult hero. So some notes on Big Sexy, as they call him. Some more on the Patriots issues out of the voluntary mini camps and workouts. Some notes on Derek Jeter. But first, I am exhausted today, and I need some advice from people here on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. I'm exhausted today because I got up at 7 a.m. and I did my second day of yoga. I tried yoga back in the day, like 10 years ago, and I am 6'5", and I'm 6'5", and I'm thin, so I'm let's say this, I have a wiry frame. I am so inflexible. Like, touching my toes is something I probably haven't been able to do since I was like 4. For being athletic, for playing sports, the one thing that I never worked on, one thing I never got better at, is flexibility. So yoga, when I did it 10 years ago, I was so bad at it that it was embarrassing that I just stopped. And I picked it up. I picked up a 3-week yoga crash course, basically, a workout video that nothing so unlike anything that I'm sure a number of our listeners do. So I did 2 days of it so far, and pretty basic, at least so far, I would say. I imagine Week one is pretty basic. Week two is a little harder. Week three is probably going to be well out of my comfort zone. I feel good. At what point can I start to see some flexibility gains? At what point will my hamstrings not feel like they're on fire during the workout? At what point will my lower back not be sore in everything that I do? At what point will my hips not be incredibly tight from sitting in my desk chair? I'm not saying that after these 3 weeks, I'm all of a sudden going to be Rodney Yee of yoga, but then do I need to do it for 6 months? Will I feel good in 2 months? Somebody who's done yoga and does it well, tell me how long do I have to stick with this to the point where I'll start to see some real tangible results? 802-655-6672. But it's quite a scene. Me at 7 in the morning, sweatpants, yoga mat, the iPad next to me, trying to stretch and contort my body in ways that I really can't do. I've learned two things so far. One, yoga is really hard. Two, I'm not really meant for yoga, but I'm going to try it anyways. So, again, 6:30 tonight we go up to, and then it's Bruins hockey. I know the Celtics won yesterday, and I'm happy that they did, obviously. Game one, win at home, 4 players, 20-plus points. It all sounds good on the surface. I cannot help but being glass half empty. You saw yesterday what life is like for the Celtics sans Kyrie Irving. And it's not a life that I'm thinking optimistically about right now when it comes to playoffs. I'm looking at a stretch in the fourth quarter where Jason Tatum was running the point and the defense sped up on him. And he sped up and he turned it over. At a time when the Celtics could ill afford a turnover, Jason Tatum turned it over in transition because he shouldn't be in that position. That should be Kyrie Irving dominating the ball with 2.5 minutes left, with 3 minutes left, with 40 seconds left. It shouldn't be on Jason Tatum, and he tries to drive in, he tries to throw it back out, and it gets taken away, and it gets taken the other way. That shouldn't be the case. That should be Kyrie Irving there, but it's not. Al Horford played very well yesterday. He shot 14 free throws. I remember for a fact him missing at least one down the stretch. That should be Kyrie Irving shooting those free throws. He should dominate the ball, and a guy who's nearly 90% at the line should be at the line trying to sink every free throw in the last 2 minutes of play. And it's not there. I look in the second quarter and I see a stretch of 9 consecutive missed shots where Shane Larkin, as valuable as he's been defensively this year, can't lead the offense. A 26-4 run by the Bucks puts the Celtics in a deficit in the second quarter. It should be Kyrie Irving. Take out the fact that Kyrie Irving would score between 20 and 30 points, I'm confident of every night. Between 20 and 30. He may go for more, but between 20 and 30, I would say, is a conservative number for Kyrie where I feel confident in guaranteeing that. Forget that even for a second. He would run the offense better than Shane Larkin did in the second quarter. I trust there's not 9 consecutive missed shots because even the attention that Kyrie is going to draw on offense is going to open up the doors for other players. Jason Tatum had 19 yesterday. Al Horford had 20-plus. Marcus Morris had 20-plus. Jaylen Brown had 20-plus. They all scored. But they also started slow. I mean, you had spots where, I want to say Tatum, he started out well and then missed his next 7 shots because it's just harder. It's just more difficult to score when Kyrie's not there. And I feel robbed. I'm not even a Celtic fan. I'm just a fan of basketball. But if I was a Celtic fan, I would feel like I've been robbed of what this team could have been. You were really robbed of it because you didn't see Gordon Hayward all year except for 5.5 minutes. You still thought, even without Hayward, this team could maybe muster up enough to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and maybe win if things shook their way. And with how Cleveland looked yesterday, fair to say that maybe we think they could beat Cleveland in an Eastern Conference Final if it got there. Even with just Kyrie and no Hayward, now I'm thinking without both of them, I don't know what this team's going to get, but I'm looking yesterday on the floor. And then I throw in second quarter struggles, Tatum struggling, as the game sped up on him in the fourth quarter, he turned it over, they had a shot clock violation, fired up an air ball, and then the defensive communication, or lack thereof, Terry Rozier hit a huge shot to give the Celtics what should have been a win with 0.5 seconds left. That should have been the game. But Terry Rozier also, before that, allowed Malcolm Brogdon, I want to say, to score five consecutive points. One going to the bucket and one for three that tied the game at 96. If Kyrie Irving's out there and there's that leader, that defensive, you know, to at least communicate things better, are we having those same breakdowns? I saw life without Kyrie Irving yesterday, and it's not one that I'm optimistic about. I'm happy the Celtics won. I do trust Brad Stevens. I love the team's resiliency. But Kyrie Irving not there, we knew it was a game changer, and we saw it emphasized yesterday. Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Tom Brady not being at the Patriots offseason workouts is a big deal. Tom Brady, he controlled the narrative. Tom Brady is responsible for why I feel this way. I would have said, anyways, that I think it's a big deal that the face of the franchise, that a guy who has played for 17 years and has been present at this particular workout, 14 of those 17 years or whatever it is, I would say no matter what, if he's not there, that that's a big deal. But it's even more of a big deal because of what he showed us. He let us in. The Tom vs. Time documentary series showed us his love and dedication and his drive for football and his drive for the Patriots. It showed us that he is supremely motivated to win another championship. It consumes everything he does. It has taken away from life with his wife, of which we know that she's angry about, and he has not cared to this point. It has gotten him friction with his head coach over his training methods. And while we knew maybe that Brady or that Guerrero and Belichick didn't love each other, we didn't know it was this bad. He's put up with it and hasn't never gone public with it. Now, Tom Brady is choosing Alex Guerrero and his wife over the game of football. Forget even just Bill Belichick. He is choosing being with them over the New England Patriots. One of the episodes of Tom vs. Time was called The Social Game, and you saw him working out with Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola and the brotherhood that they have. And he, you know, for lack of a better word, ditched, in quotes, he left his family to go for the business trip of being with the boys and bonding over football. That's how much it means to him. It's his biggest, you know, it's where his best friendships are, is on that football field with those teammates, and he willingly gave that up. I would have thought it was a big deal anyways, but Tom Brady, he's responsible for me thinking it's this big of a deal. And you know what? It sounds like it's going to remain a big deal because Jeff Darlington of ESPN, he's the guy who was kind of all over this Brady thing over the weekend. Well, he's talking about, don't expect to see Tom Brady at a lot of the things this offseason. Why Brady might not be there for a lot of the offseason. Jeff Darlington today.
That is the million-dollar question, Sage. And let's start with number one, family. He made it very clear in his Tom vs. Time documentary, he told Gotham Shoper, the producer of that, that he will be devoting this offseason to family. We might not have read a lot into it at the time, but he was very serious about that. He's going to spend more time with them. He also will be working more with his body coach, Alice Guerrero, very controversial figure in this whole thing because he's not allowed at Gillette Stadium per Bill Belichick's rules. So now Brady wants to spend his time working with Guerrero. Certainly there is some lingering frustrations here with the organization, but I would definitely point to number one and number two as the very clear reasons why Brady won't be a part of this program.
Also, Jeff Darlington, more on Brady.
I anticipate that Tom Brady will not only miss Monday and Tuesday due to this regularly scheduled event in Qatar, but when he returns, I do not anticipate that he will be a part of the voluntary program on Thursday when the team resumes their activities and then moving forward from there.
There you go. He's not only not going to be there, he's in Qatar at a charity event, you know, working with his foundation or Best Buddies program now. Okay, that was previously scheduled. But he's not going to be there after that? I consider this to be a big deal. For a guy who I know that this means that much to, it's a big deal. And you can talk about the relationships and how people in relationships handle their own dynamics, The bottom line is this. Tom Brady's wife does not want him playing football. Tom Brady's wife wants him healthy and available to her and her family. Now, I can't hold that against his wife, okay? I'm not in her shoes. And she would be hardly the first significant other that sees her significant other's career as a problem, as a roadblock to her happiness. She would not be the first significant other. But to this point, Tom Brady has said, relax, relax, it'll be over someday. And now if I'm hearing, he's not going to be a part of the offseason program because he wants to be with his family more. Does that mean that Giselle is now getting to him? Is she cracking the armor? Now, I think that is, now I don't want to speculate on other people's marriages, but I think that's important too. No matter how you look at this, I think this is a big deal. He's mad at Belichick and he's defying him and doesn't want him around. That's a big deal. Giselle doesn't want him playing and is now successfully taking him away from the football field. That's a big deal too. No matter how you slice this, it's important that a guy who is said to love football as much as he does is choosing something other than football. He's either doing it to spite Belichick or he's doing it because his wife is finally getting through to him that this is not the life that she wants to lead anymore. I think that's important, no matter how you slice it. Also on Gronk, I think it's important for Gronk too. Gronk wants to get paid. I don't know that I ever bought in to Gronk retiring. He's not 30 years old yet. He was an all-pro player last year. I don't know that he's at the top of his game, but he is still physically dominant at the tight end position, and he still loves playing with Tom Brady. I kind of always thought that Gronk was posturing for a new contract. But again, as we talk about people maybe defying Belichick or maybe people going at Belichick, it's not often that we see players getting into a stare down with Bill Belichick and thinking that they're going to win. I'll be very fascinated to see if Gronk shows up tomorrow for off-season activities, or does he intend to carry this out and say, pay me what I'm worth or what I think that I'm worth, or maybe I will. And we'll see if Belichick calls his bluff. Last year, Gronk played on basically an incentive-based contract. He had a guarantee, but he also had a number of attainable incentives, and he hit all of them. He now feels like he deserves some more guaranteed money and that he doesn't need to go out and, you know, quote, play on a, quote, prove-it deal to get paid like an upper echelon tight end. That is a tougher situation. I understand the Patriots that don't want to invest a ton of guaranteed money in an almost 30-year-old tight end with a significant injury history, that they don't want to go and give him $12, $15 million a year. But I also understand Gronk, who says, I've been a good soldier, haven't complained about the contract I signed back in 2012. I hit all the performance bonuses that you gave me last year. I understand his side of it, too. That one is much more complicated. I think it's a big deal that he's not there also, but I think it's a real big deal that Tom Brady's not there. It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN at 101.3ESPN.com. If you want to get in, you can. 802-655-6672. You've got to do so on the Town Fair Tire text line. Town Fair Tire text line open, 802-655-6672. I'm scrolling through Twitter last night, and I was watching the Sunday night baseball game as well. Bartolo Colon against Justin Verlander. And Verlander had a one-hitter at one point, and Colon had a no-hitter. He had a perfect game into the eighth inning. And there's all this stuff about Bartolo Colon, 44 years old, and the guy who, you know, he looks a little bit like Harpo Marx, and he's out of shape, and he's old, and he doesn't throw very hard anymore, and he's been in the league for, you know, however many years. He's been playing for almost 20 years now. He played at one point. At one point, Bartolo Colon played for the Montreal Expos. At one point, Bartolo Colon threw 100 miles an hour. And we're so far removed from that that a lot of people don't even remember those days. It's a good story that Bartolo Colon at 44 years old is still playing. It's a good story that he's still starting, and it's a good point, good story that he's still being successful. And I don't mean to throw water on everyone's parade here, but at what point did a guy who was suspended for performance-enhancing drugs start to become the biggest cult hero in all of baseball? I like the Bartolo Colon story. I like what I just told you. 44-year-old guy still playing well. I like that. I respect that. But I also understand that guys who are suspended for PEDs in their career, and he was back in 2011, I believe, I understand that those guys, they have a label about them. And everybody else seems to have forgotten that. If you ask anybody who doesn't like David Ortiz, what do they say? Well, he's a steroid user. And then other people say, well, he was never tested positive. Oh, that doesn't matter. Red Sox fans who hate the Yankees, who hate Clemens and Pettit. Ah, those guys are cheaters. Giambi, cheater. Those labels stick with them forever. Bartolo Colon gets a PED suspension, and now everybody on Twitter is championing him as the best thing they've seen in sports. Again, I like self-awareness. I like when people evolve, when games evolve. I've told you repeatedly, I like seeing CC Sabathia for the Yankees be a guy who at one point threw 97 miles an hour, now throws 87 and learns how to pitch. I like that. It's the same reason I like watching Bartolo Colon. And I don't really have anything against Bartolo Colon, but let's understand, he was suspended 50 games for cheating. I just find it amazing that people will use the cheating narrative about everybody, and Bartolo Colon somehow gets a giant free pass on it just because he's oddly shaped and is older than most players in baseball. I find that very interesting. PED suspensions follow people forever. It doesn't seem to be following Bartolo Colon. Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. We get a text in. Couldn't it be a 49-year-old professional is learning to balance, a 40-year-old professional is learning to balance work and life now that his children are 10, 8, and 5 by not attending this voluntary team activity in April. Come on, Brady, you're concerned trolling with this hyperbolic speculation. Is it possible that it's nothing? Sure. But Tom Brady has showed us, he told us and showed us how big football is to him. He showed us how important it was. And now he's willingly giving up the opportunity for team building. I think that is interesting. And I don't think that it's just something to be glossed over. And if Jeff Darlington tells me he's going to miss a lot of the voluntary portion of the offseason, then yeah, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to be concerned about it. Mike in the man cave, this is Brady telling Bill, you cost me number 6 with the Butler benching. I still run the team on the field. And somebody else says, we love Cologne because he's, oh no, the other guy said 40, not 49 in regards to Tom Brady. That'll do it for us. Bruins hockey is next. Bees going for a 3-0 series lead on the Maple Leafs. It's been a great show. We've got a better one planned for tomorrow. I promise you that. A good guest list coming. Champlain Valley Game Night over. Bruins hockey next. 101.3 ESPN.